You're right that a lot of the people targeted and picked up and, you know, taken to the police station were poorer Muslims or lower class Muslims. But I would also like to add that this is one time in Muzaffarnagar that we witnessed that wealthier Muslims were also attacked. And their homes were just completely destroyed. There was large-scale looting, pillaging, destruction of property, theft. And this is where I suggest that this was systematic violence, because it seems that there were groups of people who'd been sent out to recce the area. They were sent out to destroy CCTV cameras so that there could be no recording of evidence of the people who are actually going out and committing the violence or doing the looting, the pillaging, the plunder. Specific homes were targeted. Also, as I, you know, I mentioned briefly earlier, there was even a call to particular Muslim leaders saying that they should not be sending their people, to be on guard, you know, which actually made it easier for the police and the people accompanying the police to cause the mayhem and the violence. Another really strange aspect to this violence was the presence of a number of masked men. You know, people who were clearly vigilant. We're not clear who they were. Were they associated with Hindu nationalist groups? Obviously. Were they criminals? Were they vigilante mobs? But there were people accompanying the police and guiding them in terms of some of this destruction of property. All this sort of indicates that there was a sense of premeditated violence against certain members of the Muslim community, with the aim being to really cripple economically, financially, the Muslim community and actually render them the status of second-class citizens in the state of Uttar Pradesh in UP.
This is obviously not the first time that anti-Muslim violence erupted, but how is this different from incidents in the past?
There have been a series of incidents happening actually all over North and Central India, in particular since the Hindu nationalist government has come to power. Most of it takes the form of incremental violence against Muslims. So, you know, you may have heard that there have been a series of cow vigilante attacks against Muslims who are suspected of accompanying cows and using cows for slaughter. Now, most of the time, this is actually just based on hearsay. A lot of the people who've been attacked have just been cow herders. In other words, they are actually people who look after the cow. They happen to be Muslim. Since 2017, the administration changed considerably in the state of UP, because once the BJP Hindu nationalist government came to power, they appointed as the chief minister a Hindu monk by the name of Yogi Adityanath, who has a history of criminal violence against the Muslim community. Now, vigilante mobs have been given justification and license to go out and commit acts of violence, and the administration actively protects them. So this is one such incident where it was very clear that the Muslim community in the state of Uttar Pradesh had to be taught a lesson, because they had come out to protest. So I think here we are seeing, in the state of Uttar Pradesh, it's also now referred to as the laboratory of Hindutva or the laboratory of Hindu nationalism. The previous time this phrase, the laboratory of Hindu nationalism, was used was ironically in the state of Gujarat, which is where the current Prime Minister Narendra Modi comes from, which is where in 2002 there had been unprecedented violence against Gujarati Muslims. Mm. According to some reports, over 2,000 Muslims were killed in the violence of 2002. One characteristic of Gujarat then and UP now is that the entire administration, the bureaucracy, the police force, the entire administration is in the hands of the ruling party. So there's very little opposition or very little redress that is possible from other quarters in the state of Uttar Pradesh.
So would you say this is the reason why this kind of violence erupted in UP and much less so or not at all in other states?
Precisely. It's really in the state of Uttar Pradesh where this kind of violence happened, and also in pockets of the state of Karnataka, which is also governed by the Hindu nationalist BJP, where you have this kind of violence, and you have this violence in Delhi, which, because of the peculiar nature of Delhi and its form of statehood, the police force is actually controlled by the center. So again, controlled by the Hindu nationalists. In all the other states of India, for instance, the state of West Bengal, the state of Kerala, in Rajasthan, in Madhya Pradesh, in Maharashtra, you've been having very peaceful protest or instances of peaceful protest against the CAA, NRC. There have been no acts, reprisal attacks against these people or cases of police brutality.
The protests against the CAA are still ongoing. There's, for example, this famous road blockage in Shaheen Bagh in Delhi, but also in many other places. How do the police react at the moment?
Initially, there was a fair amount of restraint in the protest zone at Shaheen Bagh. My personal feeling here is that the administration was completely taken aback by the idea of lower-class Muslim women keeping this all-night, in fact, 24-hour vigil and protesting against the CAA-NRC law. Obviously, then it ceases to be just Muslim women. You have student groups joining them. You have other civil society organizations joining them. You have interfaith dialogues happening at Shaheen Bagh. So you have Hindu, Muslim, Sikh protesters, and Christian protesters sort of doing an interfaith dialogue. This is a very powerful form of protest. This was not the case with other protests happening in Delhi, say at the Jamia Millia Islamia University, where the police barged in and brutally attacked the students. There again, I think the sense was that, it's possible to do this because it's a minority institution. It's primarily a Muslim educational institution. But I think the police were again taken aback, or the administration was taken aback, because there were huge forms of solidarity with the students of Jamia Millia Islamia University. It ceased to be just it was not a Hindu Muslim issue, clearly, because you had student groups from all over, civil society organizations helping the students out. But what has changed in the past few days in Delhi is that in the build-up to the Delhi elections, you actually had Hindu nationalist leaders basically putting out an open call to violence. You had slogans like, shoot down the traitors who are protesting. You had the chief minister of the state of Delhi, who comes from the centrist AAP government. You had Hindu nationalist ministers calling him a terrorist. It was an extremely toxic campaign. And the only thing I want to say is that at least in the state of Delhi, what has happened is that this Hindu nationalist aggression has at least temporarily been halted, because once the election results came out, the Aam Aadmi Party actually won a significant 62 assembly seats out of 70. So in some ways, what the Delhi population has done, and it's primarily a Hindu population, they have said we favor the politics of development and we don't want the politics of divisiveness.
I was just going to ask about that. As you said, a week ago, there was the Delhi Assembly election. The AAP party has been dominating this legislative assembly for the past 5 years. Can the results really be interpreted as an opposition against the BJP government?
Yes. There are different ways to interpret this. And one is, of course, you can argue that this is a very clear decision against the politics of communal polarization. But I also see it just as, it's an endorsement of the politics of development, where the Aam Aadmi Party has just very clearly been trying to focus on, issues of livelihood, on, delivery of, cheap electricity to the people, on, delivery of educational services, health services. And they've by and large tried to actually keep, in as much as it's possible, actually try and be very apolitical in terms of dealing with the CAA-NRC protests. Now, they've also been criticized about this. So there are a lot of progressive groups who say that, they would have liked to have the AAP centrist party, make its voice heard in terms of, what it felt about the CAA-NRC protests. However, it's very clear that I think the Delhi public really was not very happy with this polarizing rhetoric and with these incidents of violence that had started happening in their neighborhoods. at least it may give the Hindu nationalists some cause, or, you know, to introspect about these polarizing tactics. So I really see this as a struggle for the idea of India. And I think what we have here is two different competing kinds of nationalism that are struggling against each other. And I hasten to add that they are both nationalist. And one is the idea of the secular nationalist, or the secular nationalism, which is the idea that, you know, we need to fight for constitutional rights. In this form of secular nationalism, we are talking about peaceful modes of protest. What is happening at Shaheen Bagh and Jamia Millia Islamia today is really women and students following tactics of what you might call Gandhian satyagraha, satyagraha meaning civil disobedience. And as against this is the idea of Hindu nationalism, which is the forging of the idea that India is a Hindu majoritarian state that coheres around an imagined Hindu ethnic identity. So it's the idea that of India that promises rights to all of its citizens, regardless of race, religion, or community or ethnicity, versus a state that recognizes Hindu majoritarianism and Hindu supremacy.